Welcome to Penguin Radio. This is Take Back, the Universe Loves to Laugh, here at 102.3 FM or worldwide at radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. We got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we try to get deep into understanding these issues and ask big questions about what does it mean to be human and where are we going wrong on planet Earth. Each Tuesday at noon here on Take Back, we will have thinkers, poets, writers, educators, musicians, environmentalists, and risk takers help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life. Maybe we'll get inspired to make some big changes and look at who we have been and why. Today's guests are musicians Steve Wolf and Mason Holcomb, a musical folk duo who are regulars, where I found them each Saturday morning, playing at a cafe in Fairfax, California. They are iconic figures in the small town and have not only a musical story to share, but also a very human story of what it means to be supportive, inspirational, and follow your dreams. Paul Liberatore, the Marin IJ's music journalist, who is a big fan, has said in an article back in 2013, these guys are destined for bigger things. Welcome to Steve and Mason.
Thank you, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello. Can we all hear each other?
Yeah.
Excellent. I wanted to share my little story, how I met Steve and Mason. They were playing in Fairfax, California at a cafe, and they just really inspired me with their music. And just wanted to find out more about who you are and how did you two meet?
Well, I first met Steve, I think it was 2007. I was last year of my high school career. There was a bookshop in Fairfax called The Book Beat where Steve played with other musicians, and I hadn't really picking up music yet. I was mostly into art. I was going on into art school, and I'd sit there often sketching, and they approached me one day, and Steve asked if I knew anything about music, and I said no, but I'd love to learn, and we began lessons, and it grew from there. Years later, I started singing and performing with him live, and then picked up from there. We started recording material.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember Mason in those days. I used to play at Bookbeat a lot with Otis Scarecrow, who was also a local Fairfax icon. And Mason would come in from high school with his sketch pad, and he'd sit there, you know, day after day after day, and we just kind of made a bet that eventually he would come and up and ask one of us for lessons. And well, we eventually did make contact, and Mason's been with me for about 10 years, and he's done a great job. He's definitely a good friend, a good musician.
Yeah, it's a story of an artist supporting a growing artist and really supporting one another. Mason, you've really supported Steve over these years, from what I understand.
Oh, yes. While I was in college, Steve had to go through a regiment of chemotherapy for liver disease. And that's when I started to learn how to sing, because chemo takes a lot out of you. So I told him I'd learn to sing and I'd help him as much as I can. So that's when we really started performing live together. And yeah, it started out in that cafe. And it was around that time that we met our friend Ben Tedder, and we formed this band called Tito.
Yeah, and I remember when Mason, and I was really sick on chemo, and when Mason, I said, I don't think I can sing. And then Mason looked at me and says, don't worry, I'll sing for you. You know, and that just kind of broke my heart. So I decided we were just going to do this thing. I was going to just go forward and not look back. And so that's the way it's been.
So playing in the cafe was a form of healing for the both of you.
Yeah, I think so. I was in my Mason. My mother died that same year, 2007, and I was amazed to see it's Mason out in the audience at the funeral. At that moment, I knew that destiny was working.
I was wondering if we could play a little bit of music by Tito. There was a song called Life Song. I think that'd be an appropriate song to get going on.
Sure. Life Song is one of my more recent compositions. It's one of the first songs I wrote after the chemo when I decided I needed to get my brain working again.
Wow. Okay. Here we go. This is a Life Song. We're going to listen to this music just to get a flavor of music behind the both of you, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Name of that song is Life Song, and it's off the album called More Than Connected by the group Tito. Happy to say that Steve Wolf and Mason Holcomb are part of that band, are here with us in the studio at Take Back. And beautiful. More than connected, and clearly the both of you are more than connected. We were just talking before this music about the story of Mason and Steve and how they have really supported each other through their music and healing through illness and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit about that song and the band Tito, Steve?
Well, More Than Connected is from a series of songs that I started to write after I went through chemotherapy. And there was a point where I just realized I had to pick up and get the juices flowing again. And I've just been kind of amazed, really, at what's in that song. It's kind of struck me more afterwards than when I was actually writing it. It seems to have a mystique all its own that I can't explain. I just let. I let the juices flow through me. I let God flow through me, and this is what came out. And I think that it's an amazing statement. And it just surprises me that it came out of me. So.
Yeah. It's listening to music at the cafe. I mean, that's my relationship to both of you, of how something which seems so simple can actually play a big part in someone's life, and through this process, I've gotten to know the two of you. And I mean, Steve, I know you had a pretty powerful career musically, and then the health really got the better of you for a while. I mean, it was really knocked you down. That was through cancer.
Through hepatitis.
Hepatitis.
Yeah.
And you were really searching for a place where you could heal and feel safe as you went through that process. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I got, I did get pretty knocked down by that. There were days when I just couldn't just lay there. But what we do is has always been for me about healing, and I'm quite aware that we're generating this energy that's that's affecting everybody around me, and it's always been my intent to keep that pure and honest. And there's a line in Live Song that says, we are the messengers of the light.
Yes.
And that to me is like probably the most amazing line that I've ever written, because it took a long time for me to realize that that's what we are. And I think that especially in today's world where everything seems unbelievably dark.
Yes.
That the world is depending on us, and not just us, but it's depending on you and what you do, and we have to do this. I mean, it might not seem like we know what we're doing sometimes, but it just seems like darkness is eating away at everything, spiritually, physically, environmentally. I can't believe what we're doing, the idiots that we're dealing with, our elected officials. I just can't believe the idiocy and the damage that it's doing to real people's lives. So I feel like what we're doing is very important. If we can offer any kind of comfort, and I feel that's what we're doing mainly, is just offering comfort. When people are hurting and I play the right song, I can see the energy moving and feel the energy moving through them. And I know that we're helping them, each one individually, in the way that each individual needs to be helped, because you can't write a song or paint a picture that only does one thing. But I know what we're doing is powerful. I know what we're doing is right. And even when life gets to be at its toughest, you know, I know there's no turning back. There's only turning. You either keep going or you just give up. And I just don't know how to do that.
And Mason, those brush strokes, you know something about that. I have to say that, you know, incredible art that you do, also on the cover of More Than Connected. And just another testament to your, let's call it an offering of your time and your spirit. I see you in the cafe. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just sitting there watching and feeling and taking your time doing something that you love to do and clearly are very good at it. But what are your feelings about this? I mean, you're following clearly a path that is yours of art, and you have Steve who's acted as a mentor. Would that be a safe thing to say?
Yeah.
Mentor. And there's a big age difference between, can I say that too? Yeah,
sure.
It's, you know, Mason, you said you're 28 years old and mm-hmm. and you've known Steve for about 10 years. He kind of scooped you up.
Yeah, around that time, yeah. And it's funny, a lot of people think that we're father and son, so we play that game, but people will approach us and say, oh yes, I love your dad's music. And this sort of thing. It's good fun. As far as the art goes, I've taken my approach to that with a similar way that Steve is approaching the music, because when I was in art school, I was exposed to a lot of pathways that I could go to, and many of them were unappealing because it was very, you might say, prescribed. You suddenly become like the paintbrush for someone else. It's someone else's idea, and you're just the object acting for them. And then I met people, independent artists, that said there is another way. It is harder. It involves making your own world, and it is possible. You just have to overcome the idea that maybe you can't do it because, I don't know, you're just one person. And that's what everyone has to run into, whatever they're doing in life. So I find I was able to connect with Steve in that way, and then integrating it with music, it all just made sense. I can see all kinds of analogy between making a painting and making a song. So it's all made sense to me that way.
Nice. I feel like I'm sitting with two Buddhas.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, really, I hear it in your words, and I'm listening to your story, and there's a depth to your ideas, and you're just being so thoughtful about how you say things and what you say. It's coming from that very deep place. How did you get there? I mean.
Well, with me, it was kind of like Steve. Like, I really can't do anything any other way. Like, I can't even see myself, say, like, some of my art teachers told me their experiences working for the Disney Corporation, and I don't want to do that. So I think life is just much more rewarding if you take the risk.
And isn't that being a rebel in this world today, where coming out of an educational system that I've witnessed with my own kids, there's such value placed in this idea of doing what you're told to do and how well you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not prescribing to that. You're saying, I'm going to create my mm-hmm. own world. I like it how you say that.
Yeah.
Even if it's in the corner of a cafe,
yeah.
which is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's your world. Mm-hmm. And look what you've created through that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I would not be right here where I am. And I say this with absolute depth as well. Really, without listening to your music. Your music actually helped get me here. Oh, wow. I wanted to say that, and I'm glad we're here together on the radio show, because I was going through a really bad time in my life. I was going through a divorce and no direction, and I found myself at the cafe at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there you guys are, and it was your music started to like help me make sense of life a little bit, which brings back the story of how powerful music is.
Yeah. I'm glad that what we were doing, you know, works, and obviously I'm glad that it was helpful to you, and I hope that it's helpful to everybody, and I hear stories like this a lot. I feel that I've been prepared to do this music, this art, this way my whole life. I came from a family of folk singers, and I've grown up with the idea that songs are stories, and especially folk songs are about life, really gritty stories about life. And I ended up in music school, and then I ended up in theater, and in theater you learn how to make words come to life, which brought me back into music, and then I've been surrounded by incredibly powerful mentors in my life, very, very spiritual people. And this whole concept of making art real and tangible and using energy thoughtfully and purposefully, it has been developing my whole life, and I've been practicing it and refining these skills forever. So that when it came to be working with Mason or Ben, I knew and I know that I have something to show them, gifts to give them, ways to work their energy that can affect people, and really only affect them if you come from a good place within you. It only really works if you follow a truthful path. Otherwise, it just seems to collapse upon itself. But these are real methods, and I've tested them, and I've taught them, and that's what all the music that I do now is about. And that, if you're the other kind of musician, who's out there just to rock the house and tries not to think too much about what they're doing, then you and I probably don't have a whole lot to talk about.
And with that said, how about listening to some more music? I'm thinking about Freedom from your album, Steve's Picks, Pack
sure.
of Wolves.
Yeah.
Does that sound appropriate? Yeah?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
So a little bit about this song, Freedom?
This Freedom is it's in one of the oldest pieces I've recorded, and from a band that I... that's now defunct, but that I still love dearly, called Pack of Wolves. And it was one of my most requested pieces. It was very valuable to us during both, during the first Gulf War and a lot into the second Gulf War. It's a song about that deals with... Well, why don't you play it? I think
we're
it's pretty obvious.
It. And we'll talk about it more, too. Okay. Listening to Take Back 102.3 FM and worldwide at radio.dominican.edu. And we're here with Steve Wolf and Mason Holcomb. And we're going to listen to Freedom. We can all use some freedom in our life right now. All right.
I know the things between us bring you pain. but it seems that my life's brought a dagger in the night, and it strikes like lightning in the darkness. There is light, and it's freedom awaiting me. Freedom, can't you see that train keeps on rolling to the shores of
a song called Freedom. Steve Wolf and Mason Holcomb are in studio talking about music, life, healing, positive vision, I like to hear as well. And Steve, beautiful song.
Thank you.
You were saying that that song was a really important one during the Iraq War and
First Gulf War.
Yeah,
there was a lot of stress in the communities at that point. You know, I went to a lot of candlelight vigils and a lot of parents concerned that their kids were going to be shipped off to war. And of course, things got just so much better since then. I mean, so much worse. I mean, the first Gulf War was nothing compared to the unbelievable mess that we're in. But you know, freedom is a song about, you know, finding freedom through spiritual growth and finding your way through your dilemmas, through, you know, being through spiritual means and well, I don't know what else to say about that. Yeah.
Well, we were also talking about the dream.
The dream,
you know, and how I was thinking, and whether I'm wrong or right, this distorted idea of what it means to be a musician. You know, you see these ads about, you know, be a rock star and, you know, sell your songs and, you know, go on one of these television networks where, you know, you can win awards or be noticed so quickly, and it's become kind of this competitive nature. I don't really like to say anything bad about things, but that's not a path I would probably choose quickly. But I wondered if you have thoughts about that. I mean, yeah.
Well, I knew years ago that I wasn't a musician.
You are not a musician.
No, I'm a performer, and I'm a storyteller. And the way my music has evolved has been to make the stories better, more believable, to become the better character within them. And that's, you know, to deliver the line in exactly the right way with the most emotion, the most the realness to it. And I've never really had time to think about this whole rock star idea. And that's a foreign entity to me. You know, what I do is what happened. It's just what happened because of the songs. And it still is. I don't know where it's going. Of course, like anybody else, I'd like to make a living at it. You know, I don't want to become destitute. But it's never this artificialness, this plasticness that I see in the record industry, or what used to be the record industry. It's not. It seems to be devoid of reality. It seems to be devoid of spirit, honesty. Yeah.
Well, in all the aspects of culture, I think what industries have done is they've tried to switch around what is the dream and who's doing the dreaming about what. And they try to pose it as the artist is dreaming about being some sort of god, and that's their life that they're trying to fulfill. But there was a time when it was that the artist was trying to dream a world for other people. For this was part of that spirit of the 60s.
And John Lennon's Imagine.
All of that. And there's been a significant change in what artists, even if they try to approach serious issues, there oftentimes there's this kind of suspicion that maybe they're in it a little bit for themselves, or and maybe for their business friends too.
Mm-hmm.
And what we'd like to push as artists is not only the idea that this is healing, this is a path to spiritual independence, but this is also a vision for a new world. And this is probably why, the arts get so much attack by, there's no arts education in this country. Usually when a school system is going down, the arts go first. If an artist makes a statement about society, they're attacked just because they're an artist. We'd like to just push through that and keep on creating the vision.
The vision. It's interesting. I've mentioned this before on the show, but it just, you helped me remember it again, because there had been a very pivotal switch culturally in the late 70s. It's been written about where, you know, you came out of the 60s movement, right, where you had the John Lennons, you had, you know, people who were singing as you were just describing, Mason, who it was coming from a different place. It was creating beautifully, how you said, a world that everyone could step into. Harry Belafonte likens it to there's a difference between artists and the merchants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where I look at both of you, you guys are the true artists, and the artists are the dreamers, and they're the ones who create that new world. Love it. The other thing, though, is I remember at that time, in the early 80s, I was a teenager working in an independent music store. And we had this great area of imports and independent labels, and anyone could be there as long as they had, you know, a product that they wanted to share. And And that's where I gravitated toward. And we had a story about that area. It was like, that's where the real music was, where that really moved your soul, you know? Mm-hmm. And I found so much of me, awakenings in those lyrics and especially for a teenager, yeah. Right? And then that came the corporatization of music, at least the music store where I was working, where we had to wear blue polo shirts instead of wearing our radical clothes that we wore when we were teenagers. We were rebels anyway. And then and then we had to get rid of all of those albums and only sell the top ones that sold for big money. And it was like book burning in the plaza. All these incredible voices. And it's like, that was kind of like the beginning of the end for a lot of independent. I mean, at that time, where else as an independent artist do you sell?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's pushed us to the streets. It's pushed us to the coffee shops. It's, and maybe it did us a favor. Maybe, you know, the change that is in destined for the world will erupt from the streets where the corporatization hasn't eaten up yet, you know. I mean, where else are we supposed to go? You can walk into the chop shop and get something real, or you can go buy a piece of plastic nonsense, you know, and dress like everybody else and vote like everybody else and think mindless thoughts like everybody else.
Right.
I think art and the message is getting pushed to the streets, and I think that the streets is where the change is going to come from.
It has to. There's no other place. I don't think.
Well, look at the events over the weekend.
Right.
Those are the streets.
Yeah, all the politics is becoming a street thing now.
There's a anger, and it means as you when you think as humans, you know, we're all born, we all die. It's what happens in between, right?
Yeah.
And there's more to us that is alike than is different. We all want to love,
that's,
I think.
Right.
We all want peace, and we all want to feel safe.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yes.
Where are we going wrong?
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. People seem to be arguing for the sake of arguing. Our commander-in-chief is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always try to stay positive, and it's hard to stay positive these days, but I think of my own journey of hitting rock bottom. I mean, you know, there was a point where I was actually quite suicidal and things were going wrong, and you can really go into that deep, dark place. Yeah. It can pull you down, you know, and on the outside you look fine, but inside you're...
Yeah.
And then could that be your springboard when you hit that rock bottom where you're coming back up? And I'm trying to think that's society right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot of the energy that we're working with right now. With Steve and I, we were working with that band Tito, and things seem to be heading in a very positive direction, and the whole country seemed to be hopeful because this was during, you know, the Democratic primary, and we all thought that the world might change for a good direction, but things went wrong. And things then went wrong in the band, too. Ben felt that he couldn't continue. He went out on his own path, and we're all very devastated by that, but we're trying to push forward with that energy you're talking about. The idea that there can be more to offer there.
Yeah. Are you performing in other locations?
We just started accepting shows and going out and starting to look for them again as a duo. And we are working on a trio with a great musician and an old and dear friend of mine named Tija Bell. So, and that group is called Samurai Wolf. There's a Facebook page for them.
Samurai Wolf.
Yeah. Okay. And Samurai Wolf is going to launch a series of house concerts beginning next month, and they're invitation only. And the nature of the music is very intimate, very beautiful, and it takes everything we do to a whole another level. Me and Mason are going off and playing as a duo, unfortunately without Ben, although if he wants to come back, the door's open. And we're going to be doing a show in next month at Cafe Acus in Petaluma. And then we're also doing a benefit in October, on October 15th, at Frank Egger's house. And there'll be, I think Neto's going to be there.
Jose Neto, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Tisha Bell will be working with Mason and I that day. It'll be a good chance to see, you know, that trio perform. And then we're open for, to be hired or to, you know, whatever you got in mind. Yeah, I think it's just time to get back up. It was really hard to get back up. We kind of got knocked down pretty harsh.
And all these events that you're describing, the house concerts and, and Frank Egger's event, which is an annual fundraiser, I know he's been doing for a number of years for the North Coast Rivers Alliance.
Right.
This is a message of light, right?
It's
individuals, people creating the events out of their homes, which I know the home house concert, Casey Turner, who's going to be on my show in a couple weeks too, it's really given rise where that sense of intimacy.
Yeah.
Where I think it was a class here at Dominican where we were talking about, you know, the surplus. We've been kind of so big and so disconnected, but now we're coming into a more intimate setting. I mean, including the coffee shop where we're valuing that connection on a higher level.
Yeah, there's a whole much more to be gotten from that, both as a performer and as a listener. I mean, I don't like playing bars. I don't like playing for drunks.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just the whole concept seems silly to me.
You're going to that deeper place. It's not a form of entertainment in nightlife. It's a place where you can actually really nurture your spirit.
Yeah.
Is what I hear.
Yeah. I don't see a whole lot of salvation in through alcoholism. I don't encourage people to poison themselves, and I think that the work that we have to do is a society and a planet requires sober thinking, so to speak. You know.
Yeah, and party animals aren't always in the mood for that. So,
well, it kind of disturbs the party, I'd say.
we can let them have that, and we'll find some nice space. We prefer theaters and. Something intimate of that sort.
Nice. So about, I mean, your journey and through the healing process, the pain, both politically, because I see that you really feel that pain, and some of your music comes out of that pain, out of that suffering, which enriches your art. I wonder, how could you describe that as an artist? I mean, is there...
Well, it gives dimension to everything. And, it's not just my pain. I find that when I go to those places in a song that I feel, the resonation from the entire room. It's all of our pain. And then it becomes... And, I don't really feel like I wrote this song, I feel like this song was necessary and it came through me. So in a sense, it becomes our song and the performance becomes us. So it just brings this heightened realism and depth to the performance. And we all grow from the experience, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a difference between like, listening to a sound and then feeling like the singer is singing to you and about you. Because we've all like either had that suspicion, like when we hear music, or like this could be about me, or like as musicians, like we've had people come up to us and like think either that we were singing about them, or tell us about how the song is resonating in their life, or how they somehow think that they know us because they saw something in the music.
Yeah.
Like spirits connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between what we're doing, I think, as opposed to just throwing a song at somebody in somebody's face.
Yeah.
The audience becomes necessary for the performance, and I think that all successful performers feel that. It's not, you know, I mean, on any stage, you know, all actors are aware of this. That there's this circle of energy that grows, and the feeling you're having becomes the feeling of a thousand, not just your own. So you're controlling this massive, real ball of light. We have to go there. It's the only way we're going to survive.
Yeah. I had a couple of artists on a few weeks ago. Lyle Harris was one, and she was describing the idea of collaboration, which she is, through her work, is really trying to push and help others to collaborate rather than compete, of course. And they were saying when you collaborate, there's like this invisible thirdness. If you're two, there's like this invisible space that begins to grow, and you can maybe crawl like this light, but it's like this other being.
Yeah.
That is cultivated in between the two.
Yeah.
And that's full of surprises, because you just don't know what's going to emerge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you have to be searching for that surprise. You have to, you can never predict what's going to come. But the moment you start bringing these forces together, you know, like Tito as a trio, we were amazing because of what happened when the three of us started singing together, the moment we started making it, the sound, this other thing started happening, this other super entity, super consciousness.
Wondering if we play another song here, maybe just a part of one, because I want to keep talking, and we only have about 10 more minutes left. This one is called Yellow Roses.
Yeah, Yellow. That's
and
a good
it's
one.
A 7-minute song, but we'll just play maybe a minute or two.
That'd probably be fine.
Okay. This is called Yellow Roses, and this is off of Steve's picks, Steve Wolf, Pack of Wolves. And again, we're here at 102.3 FM Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu worldwide. And let's hear Yellow Roses.
Don't you think the time is right? Time is right for giving up the fighting boy. Up the fighting boy. Don't you think the time is right? Time is right for giving up the fighting boy. Up the fighting boy. Things ain't been the same. Things ain't been the same since you've been hiding, boy. Can't you see the blinding light? Spirit lives are gaining flight beyond the sun. All the fire.
Things won't be the same. Not after hearing that beautiful song, Yellow Roses. That's beautiful. I'm pausing because I remember hearing the song in the cafe, and I would just stop and listen to the two of you. Never underestimate the power of music in a cafe. Yeah.
Never.
It, these surprises in life can happen in the most unsuspecting places. Doesn't have to be a big stage with glaring lights. It can be that intimate setting in that small little place.
Yeah, I think you just got to keep your eyes open. Everybody, it's always happening.
Yeah. So that song certainly is telling of the times.
Yeah, and it's also one of my oldest songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fan of mine contacted me several weeks ago and was just amazed that he said, "Steve, all the lyrics from your songs from 25 years ago, they're all, it's like you had a picture of the future. They're all coming true."
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and I thought the songs, if they are coming true, I thought, well, I was singing some pretty scary stuff.
Well, I wish some people could be hearing our conversation while the music is playing, because Stevie, you were saying something that I just thought something we could all hear is follow the path you're born to make.
Yeah, that's okay. What we're doing, and I think that that's what you're doing, and I think that the change, the positive change that has to occur for us on this planet, it will only come from the people who learn to follow their heart, to trust there's a pathway for them, and to get on it. We need to get on it because we need to join forces, and we need to do things, and we need to do them quickly.
Indeed. Mason, I'm thankful that you weren't the work of someone else's paintbrush.
Oh, yes, me too.
You're painting with your own. I mean, I just want to remind listeners what you said, because I just thought that was such a powerful metaphor, was to be wary of those who use you mm-hmm. as their paintbrush.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Huh. Just in general, it'll keep people keep them happier. A lot of the main feature I saw in people that would tell me their experiences in the industry were like how they wouldn't like to go back to it, and all the horror stories, and I'm much happier like going on my own direction, and it's more like the painting will present itself to me, and it won't be like assigned to me. It'll I'll find it along my way.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I've been watching Mason's painting ever since he graduated from art school, and he consistently amazes me and everybody around me. He gets better and better and better, and the paintings get more and more beautiful as he goes, and he's just growing in leaps and bounds.
Thank you for sharing your art, your music, your soul. I mean, that really comes down to your feelings and what you're envisioning for the world. A place of peace.
Hopefully. Yeah.
We'll get there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I believe it. Where can we find your music?
We're on Facebook. We've got a page, facebook.com/samuraiwolf. It's got stuff with me and Steve, and also Tija Bell. Steve Wolf has a Reverb Nation website, reverbnation.com/Steve Wolf. And to get the CDs, you can go to cdbaby.com. Where you can look for, let's see, here's the link. It's store.cdbaby.com/cd/slash Steve Wolfe. And also for the Tito album, you can do store.cdbaby.com/cd/Tito4. That's the number 4.
And I'll be sure to put these links to the show.
The easy way to find our stuff is just to go on Amazon and do a search, or go into iTunes and do a search, and we'll pop right up.
Steve Wolfe, yeah. And that's S-T-E-V-E, Wolf, W-O-L-F, like the animal.
Like the animal.
Wow. I want to thank the both of you for coming to the show and really sharing your story and inspiration. And,
well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be sharing this. And we're going to listen to one more song called Time to Go. And but before I start to play that, which I'm going to say that's one of my favorite.
Thank you.
I mean, they're works of art. It's just not music that you want to blast and dance to, which you could do on the radio, but it goes deep. Really beautiful. Really beautiful. Next week on Take Back, Talayero Balon is a Peruvian-born painter. He's based in San Francisco, and he has a new exhibit at the Community Media Center of Marin called Mujeres Luz. And I was just there Friday night, and it's, powerful images of immigrants trekking to the United States through Mexico for work, and the obstacles they face and the dangers, and it's a pretty compelling work. We're also going to have Gabby Mazarigos, who is a local Guatemalan immigrant and house cleaner. And she's coming out with her own personal story, powerful story that she shared with me about childhood slavery, abuse, things that she endured starting at the age of 11, and why she came to the United States to seek safety and work and help support her own family in Guatemala. So these are stories of real immigrant life in America today that we're excited to share with you. Also, we want to remind people that the week of October 1 through October 8 is an emerging grassroots effort for Jimmy Carter's 93rd birthday. You can find out more information at Jimmy Carter Jamboree 2017. And each day, I'll tell you, groups, media centers, musicians are beginning to emerge with events that are lining up. And we are going to blast that information out next Monday, which happens to be the same day as the lunar eclipse, which that last one was in 1979, which was Jimmy Carter's when he was still president. So won't that be fun? All right, folks, we are going to play great song here, Time to Go, because it is our time to go, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you to Stuart Horn, Executive Director of Penguin Radio, and until next week, we'll see you then.